morning starts anew, and with a shiny dew, everything's covered. The sunny sky is clear, the darkness is not here, the new day is coming.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Salty Canadian Podcast. I'm going to try to keep this one short since the next two episodes will be long as I will be doing them on the Villisca X murders. Yay! So this is just going to be a short episode on Jane Topin, a killer nurse back from the 1800s. So I hope you enjoy. If you like the podcast, please make sure you rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, as well as if you would like to donate to the show. I take one-time PayPal donations at saltycanadian2017@gmail.com, as well as Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/thesaltycanadian. I've actually added a new reward level, so go check that out. All links will be posted in the notes for the show, so you'll be able to get the link to everything. Well, let's get on with it. So, Jane Topin was actually born Corona Kelly. She was an American serial killer nicknamed Jolly Jane. After her arrest in 1901, she confessed to 31 murders. She is quoted as saying that her ambition was, quote, to have killed more people, helpless people, than any other man or woman who ever lived. Jane Topin was a 26-year-old nurse from Boston who gave lethal injections of morphine to 31 hospital patients and was suspected of having killed an additional 70 patients over the course of a two-decade career. When apprehended, she said she wanted to kill more people than anyone who has ever lived before, but could only provide details to solve 31 crimes. Her history of suicide attempts helped her win with an insanity plea, and she was eventually confined to a state mental hospital for 40 years until she died in custody. Though scant records survive of Topin's early years, it is known that her parents were Irish immigrants and her mother, Bridget Kelly, died of tuberculosis when she was very young. Her father, Peter Kelly, was well known as an alcoholic and eccentric, nicknamed by those who knew him, Kelly the Crack, as in crackpot. In later years, Kelly would become the source of many local rumors concerning his supposed insanity, the most popular of which being that his madness finally drove him to sew his own eyelids closed while working as a tailor. The story's authenticity is dubious, but it accurately reflects the prevailing opinion of Peter Kelly as an extremely unbalanced person. In 1863, only a few years after his wife's death, Kelly brought his two youngest children, the 8-year-old Delia Josephine and 6-year-old Corona, to the Boston Female Asylum, an orphanage for indigent female children founded in 1799 by Miss Hannah Stillman. Kelly surrendered the two young girls, never to see them again. Documents from the asylum noted that the two girls were rescued from a very miserable home. No records of Delia and Corona's experience during their time in the asylum exist. But in less than 2 years, in November of 1864, Corona Kelly was placed as an indentured servant in the house of Miss Anna C. Topin of Lowell, Massachusetts. Though never formally adopted by the Topins, Corona took on the surname of her benefactors and eventually became known as Jane Topin. Delia remained at the institution until 1868, when she was placed as a servant in Athol, New York at the age of 12. Later, she turned to prostitution and eventually died a destitute alcoholic in squalid conditions. So here we go on to the murders. In 1885, Popan began training to be a nurse at Cambridge Hospital. During her residency, she used her patients as guinea pigs in experiments with morphine and atropine. She would alter their prescribed dosages to see what it did to their nervous system. However, she would spend a lot of time alone with these patients, making up fake charts and medicating them to drift in and out of consciousness, and even get into bed with them. It is not known whether any sexual activity went on with her victims were in the States, but when Jane Topin was asked after her arrest, she answered that she derived a sexual thrill from patients being near death, coming back to life, and then dying again. Topin would administer a drug mixture to patients she chooses as her victims, lie in bed with them, and hold them close to her as they die. This is quite rare for female serial killers, who usually murder for material gain and not sexual satisfaction. She was recommended for the prestigious Massachusetts General Hospital in 1889. There, she claimed several more victims before being fired the following year. She briefly returned to Cambridge, but was soon dismissed for prescribing opiates recklessly. She then began a career as a private nurse, which flourished despite complaints of petty theft. She began her poisoning spree in earnest in 1895 by killing her landlords. In 1899, she killed her foster sister Elizabeth with a dose of strychnine. In 1901, Popan moved in with the elderly Alden Davis and his family in Catumet to take care of him after the death of his wife, whom Topin herself murdered. Within weeks, she killed Davis and his two daughters. She then moved back to her hometown and began courting her late foster sister's husband, killing his sister and poisoning him so she could prove herself by nursing him back to health. She even poisoned herself to invoke his sympathy. The ruse did not work, however, and he cast her out of his house. Surviving members of Davis's family ordered a toxicology exam on Alden Davis's youngest daughter. The report found that she had been poisoned, and local authorities put a police detail on Topin. On October 26, 1901, she was arrested for murder. By 1902, she had confessed to 31 murders. On June 23rd, in the Barnstable County Courthouse, she was found not guilty by reason of insanity and committed for life in the Taunton Insane Hospital. Soon after the trial, one of William Randolph Hearst's newspapers and the New York Journal printed what was purported to be Jane Topin's confession to her lawyer that she had killed more than 31 people and that she wanted the jury to find her insane so that she could eventually have a chance at being released. Whether or not that was truly Topin's intention is unknown. She remained at Taunton for the rest of her life. So the victims Topin identified are as follows, with their name, how they were related, or if they were patients, the day, month, year they died, and their age. First, we have Israel Dunham, who's a patient, died May 26, 1895, at age 83. Lovely Dunham, who was also a patient, died September 19, 1897, at the age of 87. Elizabeth Bingham, who was her foster sister, died August 29, 1899, at the age of 69. Mary McNear, who was another patient, died December 28, 1899 at the age of 70. Florence Culkin, who was the housekeeper for Elizabeth, died January 15, 1900 at the age of 45. William Ingram, who was a patient, died January 27, 1900 at the age of 70. Sarah Connors was a patient and friend, died February 11th, 1900, at the age of 48. Maddie Davis, who is the wife of Alden, died July 4th, 1901, at the age of 62. Genevieve Gordon, also known as Annie, was the daughter of Alden and Maddie, who died July 31st, 1901. Alden Davis died August 8th, 1901 at age 64. Mary, also known as Minnie Gibbs, daughter of Alden and Maddie, died August 13th, 1901 at the age of 40. And Edna Bannister, the sister-in-law of Elizabeth, died August 26th, 1901 at the age of 77. So here we have some fictional portrayals and legacies. So Pan is widely believed to have been the inspiration for the incomparable Bessie Denneker, a character in William March's novel The Bad Seed, which Maxwell Anderson turned into a successful play and film. Like Tolpan, Denneker was a serial poisoner who began killing at a young age. In the independent film American Nightmare, written and directed by John Keyes, Debbie Rochon portrays a serial killer named Jane Tolpan, who manages to kill numerous characters throughout the course of the film by various means. The character is also employed as a nurse. This character was inspired by Tolpan. Tolpan was the subject of one of six monologues in the play Murderess by Anne Bertram, which premiered in St. Paul, Minnesota at Theater Unbound. She was portrayed by Laura Weavers in the segment The Truth About Miss Tolpan, directed by Misha Burns Edwards. The play opened to favorable reviews. Minneapolis Star Tribune Theater critic William Randall Beard called the Tolpan segment a chilling portrait of a psychopathic nurse. And also there's just a little heading for when she died, and it just says, Jane Tolpan, murderess, dies at Taunton Insane Hospital. Lowell Nurse, convicted in 1902, had spent 36 years in state institution, once admitted poisoning 100 persons. So, that's all for this week. I want to try to keep this short, I won't have any of my podcast friends at the end. I will definitely add them the next two episodes. So, don't be salty and have a great day, eh?